Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, folks. What do you say? It is the early line right here on SportsGrid on a Monday morning. March is over. April is here. We've got one game left, though, if you will, in the month of March. There's a lot to get to over these 2 hours. DRS, how you feeling?
Yeah, we got a lot to go over the weekend. And also, like, it is April. Do the Phillies know it's actually April, KW?
Whoa.
With a nice little 0-3 start, which hopefully nobody's actually paying attention at this point. But I am. But my goodness, it's an action-packed show. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, you know me, K-Dub. Sometimes I am the ultimate hater. I hate no more. I hate no more right now because we're going to get into it.
Yeah, we certainly will. Though, shout out to the Phillies. At least they only gave up two runs yesterday. I think that brings their average runs allowed to about 10 per game on the season. But yesterday, the show stealer was the Women's National Championship game between the Iowa Hawkeyes, who were 3.5-point favorite, and the LSU Tigers in a game with a total of 157. And this thing blew past that number as LSU pulls off the mild upset, 102-85, a record-setting amount of points in a Women's National Championship game, the first team to ever put up 100 in this spot. Angel Reese was excellent in this game with another double-double, a record-setting amount of double-doubles in a single season, 15-10. Iowa shot the lights out in this game, 11 of 17 from beyond the arc. They take out the National Player of the Year in Caitlin Clark and win this game by 17 points.
Yeah, forget about some of the controversy swirling around the game. Refs, antics. I don't even care about that right now, Kevin. What I watched yesterday was the women's game has really evolved. And maybe just the players are getting better year to year. But we've seen great dynasties of the past, Kevin. We've seen the UConn run wild and superstar after superstar go into the WNBA. But never once did I think of spending time saying, I want to watch an entire women's game. And Kevin, quite frankly, so many times on the show, we'll talk about the women's championship game after it happens. We were setting up the Final Four on Friday as if we wanted to watch this tournament more than the men's. And boy, did they provide all the fireworks we needed. As I said, sometimes I hate on things that I don't really get into all that much to say, why would you watch that? Yesterday, I was watching the women's final and I was completely enthralled all the way through. It was fantastic.
It was, again, I mean, it was phenomenal to watch. It was phenomenal to bet on. Though people were bothered by the referees, I think it would be a mistake to not mention it. Here's how I saw it. The refs were horrendous on both sides, and then they gave Caitlin Clark a technical foul, which swung the tide to, oh, now the hit is out on Iowa. That has nothing to do with the fact that I bet LSU in the game. I thought Angel Reese sat the entirety of the second quarter because of foul trouble, Donnie. I thought it was just awful officiating that then ultimately gave out an unforgivable technical foul.
I mean, in the biggest moments, right, the Final Four and the final game, like, we come to see the great players. That's why people are tuning in, not for the referees. But also, you could be a competent referee, right, Kevin? Like, you can go in and say, well, look, I can't just not call fouls. You can call the egregious ones, but you can't call ticky-tack fouls. We always want to say, like, let the players on the court actually decide it. And nobody gets upset, Kevin, when it's a true foul. When we see those type of fouls where you're right, superstar players, superstar teams are impacted by those calls in the biggest moments. We don't need that, refs. Come on now.
No, we certainly do not. On the men's side of things, though, the Final Four took place on Saturday. Of course, the national championship game is tonight. It's UConn against San Diego State. You start with FAU and San Diego State, where the Aztecs win it at the buzzer. An incredible, incredible ending here. 72-71. The cover and the one-point loss for the Owls, catching 2.5 3-points in this game. The radio audience is here on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wright, side of the early line. SiriusXM channel 159 here. The Aztecs set up a date with UConn, who Yeah, they once again just beat up on a team. They win by 13 points over the Hurricanes. They held an unstoppable offense, Donnie, to just 59 points.
It was pretty impressive here. But also, if you're watching that FAU game, maybe they watch the Texas-Miami finish and go, hey, guys, we can't box out. It's a foul. Because how many offensive rebounds did San Diego State get down the stretch for those second-chance points? They deserved it. They earned it. And here we are in the final. And, yes, UConn right now is a monster and should be able to crown themselves national champions tonight.
We will be previewing that game certainly here on our show today. UConn, a 7.5-point favorite over San Diego State. We will break that game down. It is also draft month here. The NFL draft is coming up, and there are a number of rumors circulating, Donnie, including perhaps the Titans getting all the way up to third overall, interested to see what they want to do. What happened to good old Malik Willis?
Yeah, somebody and a GM's looking to get themselves in some hot water if this one doesn't turn out, just like the previous GM in the state of Tennessee. But having said that, Kevin, if you are, let's just say, the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th overall pick, you got to love the fact that there's probably going to be four quarterbacks moving in the top five. That sets up absolute stone-cold steals for some teams just behind them, Kevin.
And that, of course, also lends itself to some rumors that the Indianapolis Colts maybe are getting hotter and hotter on the idea of drafting Will Levis. We'll give you the updated odds We'll get you the updated odds right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook around the NFL draft. Lastly here, though, the NBA. It was too – we couldn't pick out one. The NBA right now, I mean, all of the results yesterday. If you had to pick out one, though, Donnie, for me, it would be the Minnesota Timberwolves as a 19.5-point favorite, losing at home to the Portland Trailblazers, a disgraceful loss for a team that certainly needed the game.
It was so bad on Sunday Night Baseball. It was K and A-Rod were actually talking about that, and A-Rod, who is an owner of the Timberwolves, like, yeah, man, I don't know what to tell you. That should have been an easy one there.
Yeah, it certainly should have. By the way, the Bucks beat up on Embiid and the Sixers, but I think that's better than Jokic, who apparently retired. We'll talk about all that throughout our show today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on the early line. Want to take a look at the headlines from college basketball over the weekend, both the men's games and the women's games. To start with the men's action, though, as tonight is a national championship game, which we will get to, UConn, a 7.5-point favorite over San Diego State DRS. When you looked at the weekend, either game, big picture, what was your takeaway here from the men's Final Four?
We can enjoy basketball, Kevin, without the true blue bloods in it, because even though the pregame hype sometimes holds up better than the actual games themselves is what I'm getting at here, whereas you have like 5-6 days to get ready for the Final Four. Ooh, who's playing? Duke, Carolina, UCLA. I'm talking the big headliners with the superstars here. And I even mocked it last week and said to myself, like, man, who is actually going to watch FAU and San Diego State? Knowing I would, because I'm a college basketball fan and everybody's involved in it. But there wasn't that, like, I can't wait for that game to start. For me, rooting for a UConn ticket secondarily, even if the game wasn't good, I actually hoped it wasn't good. And UConn certainly, you know, pummeled UM. But the game before that, Kevin, fantastic, man. How much fun was FAU to watch all the way through? How much fun was it for, again, San Diego State to say, you know what? You can get a lead on us. We're going to come all the way back and fight to put ourselves in a national championship picture. And also, Kevin, to myself, sent a tweet out yesterday, and I'm serious about this. FAU is such an awesome story. From a non-Power 5 conference, a head coach that you certainly can like on a national level, looks like he decides to say, can they be the anti-St. Peter's? Because St. Peter's 6 players, Kevin, transferred immediately after they, you know, completed their Elite Eight run, including their head coach leveling up and going to Seton Hall for a bigger paycheck, which nobody's going to fault him for that. I would have done the same thing. But I would love it if everybody came back to FAU to see if they could make another run just to see what would happen. But my initial premise is, again, Kevin, maybe we didn't expect all that much out of FAU and San Diego State. It was a wonderful game, fantastic to watch. And yes, high-level college basketball is played outside of the Power 5 conferences.
So to the FAU point's really interesting, and kind of then we'll go to a larger thing. Look, a big part of that is May staying. That is a, look, that's a huge part of it, right? That's the guy that recruited you. That's the guy that you know. That's the guy that you play for. And that's, it's not a shot at Shaheen Holloway for leaving, but Holloway leaving is why a lot of those St. Peter's kids left. And if FAU runs it back, it'll be really interesting next year. It's potentially what? A preseason? Is it a preseason top 10 team? The idea that FAU's preseason top 10, Donnie, right? It probably sounds crazy, but at the end of the day, we've seen non-power schools get that ranking. Obviously, Gonzaga's established themselves. Houston spent all year or a lot of the year as the number one team. And I think next year, for me, it feels almost kind of like the line in the sand to when we're going to find out, has college basketball changed? And what wins in college basketball, is it going to be way, way different moving forward, where it's about veteran depth and the five-star recruits just don't matter as much? And, you know, specifically, you know, Kentucky next year has three of the top four on ESPN's top 100. If Kentucky that next season is not one of the best teams in college basketball, it really starts to change things. It doesn't say, oh, does UConn have high-level talent? Yes, they do. But Sanogo, Hawkins, Jackson, that's not the, we're not watching the McDonald's All-American game, even when UConn is out there on the floor, when Miami is out there on the floor. And that will get really interesting, I think, for us moving forward in terms of, again, what you want to bet on in college basketball. Tomorrow, we do this every year. When we finish up and we break down the national championship game, at some point we will talk about next year's national championship odds. And I think it'll be interesting to try and dissect what actually has value, what kind of holds relevance. The second thing I want to quickly mention before we bring up the women's game, I don't want to go on the seeding thing again, but truly an embarrassment. And I think it would be very appropriate if they start to actually, not have massive unnecessary blunders. Again, I made this point. UConn was fourth overall on KenPom before the tournament started. Forget the fact that they're number one now. Forget the fact that San Diego State's climbed. Forget the fact that FAU's climbed. No, that's not the point. Donnie, before the tournament started, they were fourth overall on KenPom. There is no reason for UConn to have been a four seed. Now, it didn't harm UConn as they beat everybody up, but there is no reason for things to be that wrong, as the Huskies all year long looked like they were as good as anybody in the country. And then we've gotten back to the tournament. It's like, oh, yeah, they're the best team in college basketball.
You're right. And sometimes, Kevin, even from the opposite angle, we take a look at FAU chiming in as like a nine seed here, where the seeding committee doesn't even put any work into FAU. They go, what is it, a power five? No, they want, okay, that's the 8-9 seed. That's what they get every single year without even putting any thought process into it. And you're right with UConn being a four seed. And also you could take a look at some people, oh, they got a little bit lucky who they played. You can only play who you play. You don't schedule your actual tournament based on the seeding. It's a matter of who you go up against. And if you're taking a look at just the box scores, you kind of smashed every single opponent, which lets you know right away they were certainly underseeded.
And to your point that they got quote-unquote lucky, not that you're saying it or that maybe anybody would suggest it, you know, the reality is, what an awful year to get involved with college basketball futures, as it was the season of unpredictability, unless you got involved with UConn. Here's the deal. Man, I know people are tweeting, man, I got the Aztecs 100-1. All right, you probably do. You got it when you got it. Good for you. That's great, right? I had FAU at 200-1. All right, I'm sure you, whatever. I had the U at 100. I don't care. I don't care. You had to figure out when you were going to hedge, cash out, all those different things. I'm talking about betting a team and not, hey, this is really good value. I'm talking about betting a team that you think is going to win the national championship, right? Donnie, you bet four teams heading into this tournament. Alabama, 8-1. Well, what happened? He had all of a sudden Brandon Miller was the worst player in college basketball. You got involved with Texas. Yeah, randomly, they couldn't defend out of nowhere. All of a sudden, the Longhorns couldn't play defense. Got involved with Marquette. They got Izzo'd. And guess, here's the thing. Those fates lined up across. Again, Purdue, clowns. They should even bring them up. Kansas lost to Arkansas. People saw it coming a mile away. UCLA was beating up on Gonzaga, then collapsed against Gonzaga, then all of a sudden stole the game. Oh, and then, by the way, the Zags got ran out of the gym by UConn. Arizona lost to a 15 seed in Princeton. The only thing that was predictable, Donnie, was that Baylor couldn't play any defense, quite frankly, in this tournament here. The point of it, again, for me, with
UConn is, I don't care who they've played, everybody's had a chance to play these teams. And UConn just keeps punching all of them in the mouth. UConn's not escaping narrowly in any of these games. You know what happens before a UConn game? You bet them to cover a number, and then you go to bed. And then you go to bed because when you wake up, you're going to have a little bit more money in your pocket. That's what's been going on with the UConn Huskies this whole time. And look at this San Diego State line now. To bring this up, we'll preview it, of course, in hour number 2, 7.5. There were look-ahead lines on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Look-ahead lines on the FanDuel Sportsbook on Friday. UConn was a 3.5-point favorite. Whoa. Now, we can then have a conversation, is there value on the Aztecs? But it that's what happened with one more result. Them beating up Miami, Donnie, by 13, we doubled the line. We more than doubled the line here. All of a sudden, UConn's now a 7.5-point favorite, -345 on the money line.
Yeah, and it actually really helped me out, Kevin. As I was watching that game on Saturday night, one of my tweets came out and said, hey, this could be great, because sometimes the public perception can really push lines in different directions, and it did, which allowed me a fantastic hedging opportunity. As you know, I got great value there. UConn, before the tournament started, 2 days before, I got him at 25-1 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's been the best ticket all the way through, and certainly, hey, I would love Alabama to win it. They were only 8-1. 25-1 sitting in the national championship with close to an 8 to 8.5-point favorite at some points here, and a dog price of 320 or more are out there for San Diego State. Sensational stuff. It just goes to show you how good UConn looks. It's a shift change. It's a line change, Kevin. Everybody's good for UConn, and they're a 4 seed. How about that?
Yeah, shout out to the gals. What are you going to do? We're going to get to the women's game after a break here, as well as the NBA's MVP race. One guy taking some losses, the other guy, I think he retired. That's the rumor mill, at least. We'll break that down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to here on the early line, taking a look at the Women's National Championship game before we get to some of the NBA action. And I, for me, the initial takeaway is, at some point, maybe we will get to the point where we just come on the next day and we just talk about how good a game was or how controversial a game was or whatever it might be. But the Women's National Championship game does not always carve out its own space in a show like this. It doesn't. Usually, when you think about what you know at the women's basketball game, it's, hey, UConn won again, and then let's get to the rest of the stuff on the rundown. That's the truth of it. And I think occasionally we see people, and this isn't meant to be rude or anything, people sometimes try and elevate certain sports to pretend that they matter more than they do. Like, personally, massive eye roll whenever anybody tells me F1 is going to become the new biggest sport in the world. Massive eye roll out of me. Stop telling me I need to care about F1, right? I like the WBC as it carried on, right? Some people said the WBC, let's just take it a little bit easy. I'm not trying to give you a hot take, Donnie. I'm not trying to get wrapped up in hyperbole. There's nothing that is going to happen tonight in UConn San Diego State where I am going to come away more impressed, entertained, and had more fun and more interested in, more invested in the men's Final Four to the women's Final Four. The women's Final Four smoked their boots. It was phenomenal. Caitlin Clark against South Carolina, the best player in the world, going up against an unbeaten defending national champion, was everything you could have ever asked for. Another 40-point performance, continuing to bang threes and set up her teammates, and it was electric. And waiting on the other side was a game against an LSU team that had as much character and flash and talent as Iowa, and brought that all to the table. The shot making in the first half was outrageous to watch there. Clark had 4 threes in the first quarter. There was nobody on the timeline that wasn't discussing this game. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm telling you right now, people care more about women's college basketball than men's college basketball. But I know that going into next year, people are going to be excited to watch all of Caitlin Clark's season. People are going to hope that Paige Buchers is back fully healthy and ready to go for UConn. Angel Reese is back again next year. These are the kind of things that help elevate a sport to the next level, and that's what I really do believe this tournament was for the women's game here, Donnie, is they just went up a whole nother level in this moment here, and it capped off with a phenomenal and exciting national championship game.
Star power from the players to the coaches here as the season winded down. Again, we, you know, you might be watching ESPN Sports Grid and see some highlights there from Caitlin Clark during the season and know that she was a good basketball player. But we've seen that, Kevin, for decades with UConn. Like, wow, Sue Bird, Taurasi. I mean, so many players coming out of that we knew were great, but didn't really have me saying, I need to turn over and watch this basketball game. Now, Kevin, we talked about this point, at least I did, late last week. I absolutely love what the women's game did. Hear me out on this. The Final Four is so big. It's the biggest part of your sport, women's basketball and college basketball for men's. But the men's always overshadows it. Why? Because we typically get unbelievable performances slash blue blood teams that everybody wants to tune into, and the hype would be there. Now, I questioned it this year if we were going to get that hype from the men's game. And granted, you had two decent games there. You're going to have a championship game, which we will watch. But the women went first, Kevin, and that's what's so big. The women went Friday night, which led you to that appetizer. Like, if you really like men's college basketball, you're still going to tune into that. Then all of a sudden, the championship game was played in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday before the men's game, which gets better, which we're going to talk about in just a few moments. But the women's game had so much momentum here coming into this Elite Eight with Caitlin Clark as a superstar, with Mulkey as a head coach, how good LSU was. South Carolina, can they repeat? Can they continue on their winning streak? And when, quite frankly, will it ever end? Because they were certainly the fact on odds winner, excuse me, the odds on favorite to win this championship. But the fact that the women's went to Friday night and Sunday afternoon was monumental, where everybody still had that hype, because sometimes you get a little bit of fatigue, Kevin, right? It's Saturday. Hey, man, I'm going to hang out with the fellas. We're going to bet some games, get some pizzas, get some beers. Hey, what are you doing Sunday? Oh, man, I'm really exhausted and tired. Oh, do you want to get together for the women's final? Like, no. And then you have the men's game on Monday night before the women's game on a Tuesday night. I just always thought the momentum was stagnated there, but fantastic job by them. I hope it continues. Women on Friday, women on Sunday afternoon. I think it makes a lot of sense for the future.
Well, the only thing that would change it is if the men's game wakes up and realizes, you know what? The women's game can play at 3:30. And we're going to play at 7 o'clock on Sunday. Because this is ridiculous. I'm, by the way, not usually. I stay up late, whatever, different lifestyles here. The 9:30 tip for national championship game. And by the way, the way these UConn games have gone, record lows is what we're looking for in that tonight. Look, the last thing I will say with just this game here, and again, kind of where it carries over. Again, it's not Caitlin Clark, by far, the biggest star in college basketball, men or women. Who would people even label the biggest star in the men's game this year? Did the men's game have a star? Zach Edey. Let me not disrespect. But come on now. Let's not be disrespectful, but come on. Right? Not even remotely a star. And he's back next year. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You know you don't care. Right? Him and Dan Dockett are out there trying to figure out whether he's hitting the transfer portal or not. Nobody cares. That's the truth of it. So it's going to, I think, continue this way, the growth for the women's game, which is absolutely phenomenal. Again, really, really enjoy the national championship game as well. Full player prop menus for this game, as well as the Final Four as well, which is great for us because that allows us to be more involved and to be more invested, which was wonderful. Let's flip things over to the NBA. There's so much to get to standings-wise that I want to handle the MVP race right here. Now, some of these games involved or related to the standings a little bit, but what did you miss since we last talked to you? Well, Joel Embiid is now -210. Nikola Jokic is at +260. Giannis is at +650. How do we get here? Well, you started off with the Joel Embiid side of things. Embiid has sneaky slowed down a little bit. Averaging 33 points per game, Joel Embiid has now gone under 30 points in four consecutive games. And they just played the Milwaukee Bucks at Milwaukee, under 50% from the field, Donnie, 1 of 7 from beyond the arc, and a 13-point loss against Giannis, who was the best player on the floor, 33-14-6, a +21. But Joel Embiid, a -210. How does that happen? Nikola Jokic has not played now for a full week of basketball. Jokic played against the Philadelphia 76ers last Monday and has now missed three consecutive games. Jokic has actually still played more games this season than both Embiid and Jokic, than both Embiid and Giannis. Irrelevant. We saw how tight the race was, Donnie, and now this is when people were going to, you know, make their case or not. Nikola Jokic has just stopped playing basketball, and that's how Embiid's favorite status has grown here on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, it has. And how about just a week ago? Oh, my goodness. Joel Embiid didn't play in that monster game against the Denver Nuggets. There's no way he can win the MVP. And now 1 week later, he's double what he was the price before that game even started, which is pretty sensational. But again, we always like to say this, Kevin. You take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joel Embiid is the favorite. Now, I'm rooting for Joel Embiid. I'm a Sixers fan. But I do think the way he's played over the past 3 years, he does deserve at least one. And Jokic has been in his way the entire time. If there's any sliver of doubt where Embiid might be able to win it, well, he's certainly kicking that door open by actually playing basketball games when Jokic is not playing games right now. But also, again, the FanDuel Sportsbook does not vote. It's not the singular vote that says that the last game, if Joel Embiid is a minus 300 price, he automatically wins the MVP. That's not the case. But I think looking at the straw poll that came out last week, where the previous year, Kevin, Jokic was so far and away the GM's choice for MVP, that this year, even though you saw roughly a 50-50 split, it feels like it's Embiid season. And you're right about it. I don't know what Jokic did. Saw the straw poll, got angry and said, I'll teach everybody and just not play the rest of the way down the stretch. We know he's not doing that, but it is interesting optics here with just a few games left to play. Embiid's not even dominating. Hey, 40, 10, and 10. Of course he's the MVP. Embiid's not even winning a ton of basketball games with the Philadelphia 76ers, and he's lengthening his lead. Rooting on Embiid to be the MVP, I think he should be, but it is an interesting concept where we might have thought we would have had a head-to-head matchup down the stretch between these two. One's playing and one's not.
Well, what's, again, the oddity of it is, because players missing games in the NBA is obviously not a foreign concept, we see, Jokic is out, and we go, oh, that's interesting. But at no point has Nikola Jokic missing three games in a row with a calf injury led anybody to go, is Jokic all right? What's the deal here? Nuggets last night beat the Golden State Warriors. Again, that's standing stuff. We'll get to kind of what that means for Golden State. But nobody has said, is the Jokic calf okay? Is this something that we need to worry about in the postseason? What's the story here? And that is an interesting thing. Their next game's at Houston. Is he coming back for a road game? Well, then they're at Phoenix, and then they're at Utah, and then the last game is Sacramento. And then with the way the NBA schedule works, that's a Sunday, April 9th. The real playoffs don't begin until the Saturday, the 15th. I mean, Nikola Jokic could, if he really wants, Donnie, if he really wants, he can get about a three-week vacation here. But if he does take a three-week vacation, the MVP thing is lost, I think, at this point for Jokic. At least it comes off that way. Then the conversation is probably going to shift to, is Jokic healthy? At some point, it has to.
I mean, it does have to at this point. And also, when you're taking a look at Kevin, I love how you just brought this up, because I didn't really think about this all that much. Think about the teams also like the Los Angeles Lakers, even Joel Embiid with his calf, or even the Denver Nuggets, as you brought up. We usually think, okay, season ends on Sunday, playoffs tip up on Tuesday. But the fact that those playing games are taking up that entire week, that is massive for some of those teams that need the rest, Julius Randle included for the Knicks.
Yeah, that is key one as well. Let's start to get to some of these standings here. Yesterday, quite frankly, folks, it was Laker Day. Everything went their way yesterday. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get right after it here. We just hit two games in terms of the MVP race, right, which was Bucks Sixers and Warriors Nuggets. On paper, two phenomenal games to try and line up for, you know, big-term, long-term outlooks there. The spots were a little different. Milwaukee coming off of getting embarrassed at home by the Celtics. At home, you thought they'd bounce back. They did. Denver all of a sudden didn't have Jokic. They still beat the Warriors. On the Eastern Conference side of things, the Bucks still hold a two-game lead over Boston and likely will be fine there. Philly three back of Boston. 1-2-3 looks very locked in the Eastern Conference race here, DRS. I don't see the Cavs catching the 76ers. And again, it's incredibly important whether you think Boston has Philly's number or whether you think, it doesn't matter. if the fact that the Bucks will not have to play both Boston and Philadelphia is why they earn their favorite status in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely, and it's pretty simple to know that. It's harder to beat two really good teams than it is to beat one really good team after those other two really good teams had a battle just to get to yourself. It's just simple mathematics. And also, Kevin, what do you get when you're the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference? You can actually go into the playoffs and go, man, we didn't win a road game. Oh, yeah, we won every home game. Here we are in the NBA Finals. That's the luxury. That's what you fight for in game seven, Kevin, being on your home court.
Yeah, I don't know. Is this season, this playoffs, maybe every series goes seven games, home team winning all of their games this year? It does feel that way. To spin it over to the Western Conference side of things, right now you have four teams with 38 losses. The Clippers and the Warriors at 5-6, the Lakers and the Pelicans at 7-8. Let me then talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are the ninth spot and have 40 losses. Well, that 40th loss, probably the worst loss any team has had this season. I think you could argue what the Mavericks did against the Hornets in back-to-back games, and that potentially sinking their chances of even making the play-in is potentially worse. But it wasn't in terms of against the spread, not as big of an upset here. Minnesota's a 19.5-point favorite. You don't even see numbers like that in the NBA. The Blazers are a unique kind of horrendous, though, right now. No Lillard, no Simons, no Nurkic, the whole thing, no Jeremy Grant. The whole thing is horrendous. They've been losing routinely by 30-plus points. Well, Minnesota, aware of that middle day game, they no-showed here, Donnie. Despite 37 from Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony Towns went 1 of 3 in this game here against the Portland Trail Blazers. This is an unforgivable loss for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, before we hit the weekend, felt like they might be a dangerous, nobody wants to play type of team in the Western Conference. Now, all of a sudden, will be favored to miss the postseason.
I got to tell you, like, take a look at 9 through 15 in the Western Conference. Like, you take a look and say, okay, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, everybody's trying to jockey for position and get into the playoffs, Kevin. Look at their 10-game splits. Minnesota, 4-6. Oklahoma City, 4-6. Dallas, 3-7. Utah, 3-7. Portland, 2-8. San Antonio, 2-8. Houston Rockets, 2-8. Now, granted, those final three teams are actually eliminated, but it doesn't seem like anybody wants it. And that's the joke that we always made with the Lakers, going, well, I don't think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. Well, who's going to actually jump them, because teams actually aren't trying here? It'll be interesting to see where Minnesota actually lands, but you're right about the Lakers being the ultimate winner. Now sitting on the precipice of, hey, if some things break right, they might not even be in the play-in round anymore, which how crazy is that? Where just a couple days ago, like, oh, look at that. The Lakers outside the playing range again. Not going to happen, but it looks like the Lakers, you're right, big winners yesterday.
Yeah, they certainly were. Quickly, now, with the Minnesota thing, I say they're favored to miss the playoffs. Odds for this are available in the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's -110 both directions. How I would explain that is, they're not officially locked into the 9-10 game. Though, if they end up in the 9-10 game, they are likely to be the 9, home court advantage, playing either the Thunder, who may or may not be tanking, or the Mavericks, who are trying to win and are just absolutely horrendous. And then if Minnesota wins that game, we actually every single year have seen a team come up from the 9-10 game and find their way into the playoffs there. It would be a one-game elimination. Minnesota gets booked in decent fashion. It's wise you see that -110 number. To get to the Lakers side of it, DRS, they just beat the Houston Rockets 134-109. Anthony Davis with 40 points, LeBron James with a triple-double. The bigger game for the Lakers probably, though, did come on that Friday, which was against Minnesota on the road. They won 123-111. Anthony Davis with 38 points in that game. In fact, here's AD's last three. 38, 38, and 40. A lot of people at times have questioned Anthony Davis's aggressiveness, and sometimes people feel like when LeBron is around, AD gets way too comfortable, too lax, takes that back seat. Well, not in these last three games. Anthony Davis has kept up that MVP caliber form that we have seen him flirt with different times in this season, and he's done it at the most important part of the Lakers season. Look, the Lakers changed their roster around mightily. They are healthy-ish. D'Angelo Russell left this game against Houston a little bit early here. I've said it once, I'll say it again. The Lakers are undeniably contenders in the Western Conference and beyond that. It is clear as day. They've lost one game that they've played with LeBron since the deadline here. Nobody wants to play this team. It's not hyperbole. They have the best duo in basketball in LeBron and Anthony Davis, and they actually have competent players around them. And yeah, I know beating the Rockets isn't anything to brag about, but do you know how many times I've watched this Lakers team over the past couple of years go into a team like Houston and the fourth quarter be down by six because Jalen Green has seven made threes, and for some reason Anthony Davis has only seven attempted shots? This is the kind of stuff that if a team wants to be taken serious like the Lakers has to put forward, and this was an incredible performance for the Lakers.
Yeah, and the one thing for the Lakers, hopefully to move out of that play-in round, which technically they can do that here. The tough part's going to be, Kevin, when we always bring up the Laker games and handicap them, I love the Lakers at home. I think they're a solid home basketball team. I think they can beat anybody at home at Crypto.com Arena. But having said that, you're probably going to be going on the road against upper-level competition. That's where it gets tougher. But also keep in mind, we talk so much about players staying healthy, and it brought up like, hey, maybe Julius Randle gets an extra week off if the Knicks can avoid the play-in, which they probably will. But take a look at the Lakers, a veteran team that has had their stumbles down the stretch. Why? Because every year we come into, hey, is LeBron going to come back? Is Anthony Davis healthy? The fact that especially in that first round of the playoffs, Kevin, you're playing once every 3, maybe 4 days, that gives you a rest advantage. So even if you slip in, let's just say you're the 7 seed overall, you might be able to take down a Memphis Grizzlies or a Sacramento Kings. Why? Because you're the veteran team. When you're playing against a younger team, you want extra days off, and the first round provides that. So maybe they can pull an upset in that true round one.
And look, just to comment quickly, though, in terms of the road record, the Lakers are one game under 500 on the road. So they have a legitimate chance to finish 500 or better on the road. Teams in the Western Conference that are 500, the Nuggets, the Clippers, and then the Kings are above 500 on the road. That's it. Not Memphis, not Phoenix. Obviously, you know, not the Golden State Warriors there. So the Lakers are actually sneaky, Donnie. They're one of the best road teams in the Western Conference because that's how bad the Western Conference is on the road. You mentioned the Lakers getting help, and that involves the Golden State Warriors, and it also really involves the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers had a loss at Memphis, followed by a loss at New Orleans. The Clippers do not play until Wednesday against the LA Lakers. But if the Lakers win their next game, which will be tomorrow against the Utah Jazz, they will have the same exact record, meaning the Lakers will play in Crypto, now on the second leg of a back-to-back, but against the Clippers team, obviously no Paul George playing, with an opportunity to jump the Los Angeles Clippers, Donnie. The Clippers already own the tiebreaker over the Lakers, so the Lakers will need a better record. But this is, again, where the conversation with the Lakers, I think, is shifting and has to be shifting. They went from a, I'm pretty sure they'll make the play-in, to, okay, they're definitely making the play-in, to, hey, you think they could, you know, get in that 7-8 game, to, oh, they might be the 5th seed in the Western Conference. Now, there's a whole other conversation to have. Would you rather be 5? Would you rather be 6? Would you rather be 7? That's a whole separate conversation. But when we talk, you know, arguments against teams, the Lakers' record, Donnie, no longer relevant. They're multiple games over 500 here and genuinely have a chance to be the 5th seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that we take a look at the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. We don't really care who's like 1, 2, or 3 in each. And even in the Eastern Conference, we're not watching it with, you know, bated breath on who's actually going to make the play-in or not. But the Western Conference, the reason why we keep spending more time on the Lakers, the Pelicans, the T-Wolves, and the Thunder is because every single day, those standings are changing. You're waking up tomorrow, another team's out of the playoffs. You're waking up the next day, oh, look, this team actually is out of the play-in round and into the actual top 6 seeds. It's going to be fun to watch it play out the rest of the way, because a lot of things change. The one thing we do know, Kevin, you want to be in the top 6, and also you want to avoid being 9-10.
Yeah, you certainly do. Two teams that are trying desperately to avoid 10, get to 10, I don't really know. The Mavericks and the Thunder. The Thunder now
lose, it feels like, every game they play. SGA is out there. It's just not mattering as much. He scored 39 in a loss against the Phoenix Suns. Luckily or not luckily, again, I would need some truth serum to ask the front office of the Thunder whether or not they actually want to make the playoffs. The Mavericks are horrendous. They were 36-35 after Kyrie Irving and Maxi Kleber beat the Los Angeles Lakers on the road. 36-35. They're now 37-42. 1-7 in their last eight games. They went on this East Coast road trip. And as I tried to point out earlier, oh, that doesn't look good. Against the Sixers, fourth quarter collapse. Against the Heat, they gave up 129 points to the worst offense in basketball. And then the Hawks beat them 132-130 in overtime, despite 41 points from Kyrie Irving. The Dallas Mavericks, will they end up getting to the 10? It doesn't feel likely, but maybe. And even if they do, they are not scary. They are not legit. They are not a contender. They are a bad, bad basketball team.
And they are, and they're showing that, Kevin, right? When the pressure is on and your superstars are back in, well, you're 3-10 in your last game, 10 games over, 3-7 in your last 10 games overall. But having said that, the NBA, the reason why they have the play-in rounds, Kevin, is to ensure that as many superstars as possible get some shine in the playoffs with a chance to make a run. Luka Doncic is one of those shining stars in the NBA, and the simple fact of the matter is they're going to be healthy at the end of the season along with Kyrie Irving and are going to miss the playoffs. That is crazy to think about, because once they got Kyrie Irving, Kevin, it wasn't like, okay, let's see if they can make the playoffs. It was, now, we don't know if they're going to win a championship. They might be fun to make a run. We've seen Luka do it before. Yeah. How did they get worse by getting Kyrie Irving and also having Kyrie drop 41 points and it doesn't even matter? It's supposed to be Batman and Robin going crazy out there with some extra help, but all the extra help went to Brooklyn, and now Batman and Robin have nothing around them to actually play defense or assist on their buckets.
Yeah, they are terrible. They're terrible. Really, really bad. It's Masters Week. Let's take a look at the outright odds as we get set here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Masters Week. Get excited. Obviously, the biggest tournament of the year for golf. The favorite, Scottie Scheffler, plus 750, alongside Rory McIlroy at that same price. The only other golfer underneath 15-1 is Jon Rahm at 9-1. Any buzz, DRS? Too locked in on college basketball here? Masters Week, how do we feel?
You know, it's funny because, like, typically I'm a three-week-a-year golf fan, which would be the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the Ryder Cup, which doesn't even get to play every year. But I usually use the Masters as that rite of passage towards spring, as we have the opening of baseball season and then grossly followed in by the Masters. I love it because it's at the same course every year. It's immaculate. It's beautiful. You know, hopefully we get good, clear skies down there. But I don't have a lot of rooting interest per se just yet. Now, granted, the FanDuel Sportsbook's probably going to do a great job later in the week and give us some odds boost to try to kick in who's going to make the cut, maybe somebody to finish in the top five. I love that. Cheering on the Masters is certainly fun, but I need a little bit more, and maybe we'll get that as the week goes on. Live Golf Tour versus the PGA Golf Tour, battle for supremacy here. That's a nice little sideline here, Kevin. I do think so.
Yeah, well, it was certainly something to keep our eye on. Now, we don't have a full menu yet for the Masters, but one thing I noticed on the FanDuel Sportsbook is a Majors Specials tab, which is, because we've not played everything all year, right? They have certain things, you know, to win all the majors, obviously very unlikely to finish top four, finish top 10. To make the cut in all four majors in 2023 is a really interesting market. Now, look, there are guys, you know, Scheffler minus 170, right? You've got Rory at minus 155. Those are kind of guys that you expect those numbers to be minus, but when you consider what they usually are, a Jon Rahm minus 150 to make the cut in a singular tournament, especially on the biggest stage where they deliver, maybe the minus price isn't a bad look. We'll, of course, keep our eyes set again as it is Masters Week here. No doubt about it. We started off, though, with some NFL news because it's also draft month. We'll break it down as we start hour number two of the Early Line on Sports Grid.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.